want to cover a topic that's kind of, it seems like it's simple, seems like everyone should know, but you'd be surprised on how many people that I talk to in a week's time that know nothing about what I'm about to talk to you about today, and that is the grace of God. I talk to a lot of co-workers. A lot of them find out that I'm a pastor. A lot of them ask questions. You talk to them, and the first thing that comes out of my mouth, but I'm a good person. I believe in God. I don't bother anybody. But they don't know that being a good person, doing works, won't save your soul. Won't bless you with salvation. That's only one thing that grants salvation, and that is the grace of God. And the thing about it is, you don't have to work for it. It's a free gift given by God to his children. We're going to read, see what the Word of God has to say about that. Before I do, I want to pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you, thanking you, Lord God, for this wonderful morning and this opportunity to come to your house, to spend time with you, and to seek your face. Father, we ask, Lord God, that you would speak to us this morning, that your words would be sown in our spirit, and that it would produce good fruit that would change our lives, our character, and make us better. Father, I ask that you would bless these people as they go out in 2019. Father, I pray that you would bless them with direction. You would bless them with protection and provision. Give them direction for their lives. Give them something to shoot for. In Jesus' name we thank you. Amen and praise God. If you'll open up your Bibles and turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2. Verses 4, and we'll begin reading there. I also want to thank Pastor Randy and Bishop Randy for the opportunity to come to you guys this morning and to minister. Those two have done so much for me over the years. I've been a part of this church for going on 22 years. And it's truly been a blessing. It's truly changed my life and the way that I see and the way that I view things. Those are two great men. You have time to spend some time with them. I would encourage you to do so. And it reads, "But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love, which with he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ, by grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." Now, because of Adam's sin, the entire human race is spiritually dead. Only God can grant new life and save us from this predicament. Romans chapter 5 and 19 reads, "For as though one man's disobedience, the many were made sinners, even so, Through the obedience of one, the many will be made righteous. And basically what that scripture says, that because of the sin and the fall of Adam, you and I were made and became sinners ourselves. But through the one man, Jesus Christ, who came and lived a righteous life, you and I, through him, are made righteous through the sacrifice and the life that he lived. Works and being good enough is not something that you and I have to live up to. All we have to do is receive the great gift that has been given to us freely from God. And that is salvation through Jesus Christ and through Jesus Christ alone. You know, a lot of co-workers I talk to believe that we all serve the same God. And be honest with you, I wish that was true, but it's not. There are many that claim to serve other gods. There are Buddhists. There's those that serve Muhammad. There are those that unfortunately worship Satan. We do not all serve the same God. Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior. He is the God in which we serve. And it is through him and through him alone that you and I can receive salvation. Through him alone. He also said in his word that if we tried to climb up any other way, that we would be a thief and a robber. A thief and a robber. Out of his mercy, God gave his son for us while we were yet sinners and enemies of God. In Romans 5 and 8, the word of God says, but God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Isn't that awesome? That before you became a child of God, while you were an enemy of God, Jesus Christ gave his life for you. When I think about that scripture, I get a vision and I get a picture of Jesus sitting, hanging on the cross, yelling out to his Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. At the same time, giving his life for the same people that were standing, yelling and screaming, crucify him, crucify him, crucify him. Yet and still, he gave up his life for that very same person. That very same person that turned his back on him in his time of need, Christ gave his life for that person. Not only just for me and you, but he gave his life for everybody. That all of us would receive salvation through him. That all of us would have a right to experience an eternity in the presence of God. In joy and peace and in happiness. Full of love. Can you imagine that? Giving your life to someone that you know was your enemy. Now, God teaches us that we are to love our enemies. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 43 and 45, Jesus teaches to love our enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. In this teaching, Jesus is revealing the very character of God. The very character of God. Not only was he revealing the character of God, but he was speaking something that he would later do in days to come. he would give up his life. To mankind, although they hated him, they despised him, he wasn't what they thought that he should be. So they crucified him. But yet and still, salvation was made available to the very same people through the death of Jesus Christ. To be a son of was to be like someone or something. That you may be sons of your Father in heaven means that you may be like the Heavenly Father who displays his love without discrimination. God challenges us to display our love without discrimination, in spite of that coworker that gets on your nerves, the one who's always telling those bad jokes, the one who has the filthy mouth. In spite of that, God calls us to love them without no discrimination. Why does God call us to do that? Because he loved us without discrimination. You and I are to have the character of God. It should be developed on the inside of us so that is who we are. Jesus not only talked to you about this, he demonstrated. That's another thing. That's one thing to get up and say a bunch of stuff. You know, I'm this, I'm that, da-da-da-da-da. But it's another thing to show somebody. It's another thing to show somebody that you love and you care about them. I think we've talked long enough. It's time for us to demonstrate the very love of God. And you know, for the most part, I really believe that everyone in here desires to do that. They really want to. It's just that sometimes we face circumstances that hurt. Just the truth. You want to give that person love. You want to give that person understanding. But that person continues to hurt you. That's understandable. I can understand that. But God wants us to move out above and beyond ourselves and demonstrate that love anyway. Because that type of love, you guys, is contagious. That type of love has the ability to change others around you. When you discriminate and you display that kind of love, it changes the whole atmosphere. It changes the room. It's infectious. It gets down on the inside. It's real love is what it is. It's not made up. It's not fake. And everybody's looking for real love. And that's what you and I have been called to change the world with, and that is love. Not judgment. For who are we to judge? Who are we to judge, really? Jesus said, for those that have not sinned, let him cast the first stone. In other words, before you cast judgment on somebody else, make sure you check yourself first. So let's make sure that we are demonstrating that agape love that God demonstrates to us. You can do it. The Word of God says that as you and I continue to let love flow through us, God continue to give love. But the time that you stop letting love flow through, it's like building a dam in your life, and the love of God can no longer flow through because you've stopped it. You've stopped the flow. But as you continue to give love, that love from God continues to flow down to you and through you. And as it flows through you, you touch lives. And you may not ever be the one to touch the life of that person that's been treating you wrong, but because you continue to demonstrate love to that person, others get their lives changed. I've seen this happen in my own life, right there on them job sites. Men come back and say, man, how can you do this? How can you do that? It's not me, man. It's not me. I'm not going to come up here and try to tell you that I'm all that in a bag of chips, but I know somebody that is. I know somebody that is. And that flow of love that's flowing through me right now, it comes from him. And as long as I continue to release that love, he continues to provide it. And that's what he wants to do. He wants you and I to continue to release that love, release that love, release that love. And love will blow you up, take you to places you never even dreamed of on account of love. People will bless your life because of love. Everybody wants to be loved. Everybody. You know something else we can also do, and I was sharing this with my brothers this morning, and that is to make sure you make yourselves available to let others know that God loves them too. Let people around you, those that are hurting, those that do have mouths and attitudes that you don't think that is fitting for a man or a woman of God, let that person know that they are loved by God themselves. Because the Word of God says that he loves everybody without discrimination. Just you, love coming from you, that word coming from you has the ability to draw them on in. See, we are God's mouthpiece. We are the ones to go into the highways and the byways and to speak love, to let people know God loves you, doesn't hate you, not mad at you. He loves you, and he wants to draw you in. You know, I don't know, most of you probably wouldn't believe this about me, but at one time I was a rascal. I'm just being honest with you. You know, I wasn't always walking in line with God. But God showed me something. He showed me what true love was. And in doing so, it made me want to love everybody. Everybody. And it's still like that today. What we need, guys, we need a love revival, a love revolution. Because that's what people are looking for. God loved us long before we loved him. Long before we loved him. You know, when I look back at my life and I look back how God was drawing me in and leading me to salvation, leading me to his own, I look back and I see I didn't come to the place of seeking God on my own. I come to that place because he was pulling me and drawing me at the same time. It was his desire that he have a relationship with me, not me with him. See, we think we wake up one morning and that we're the ones that are seeking God. That's not so. God's been seeking you out since day one. He's been drawing and pulling you on in since day one. You just finally got to the place where you can see it. But God's been in love with you since he created you. Look back on some of the things that you've overcome, some of the things that he's carried you through, and tell me that that wasn't God showing his love towards you. When you were enemies. Loved you. Drawing you, wooing you. You know what I mean? Revealing himself to you. But I'll tell you something, man. The life of a Christian, the life of a man of God, man, a woman of God, is the most exciting life that you can live. My God. The experiences that you have with God will rock you down to the core of your being. I can remember when I truly, and I'm going to say this, when I truly, truly surrendered unto God, at the I felt conviction. You know, I knew for a fact that I wasn't doing right. And I felt that holy conviction. Dino, this is not the way you ought to be living, man. This is not who your mom and dad raised you to be. That conviction. But at the same time, I felt an overwhelming power of love that caused me to surrender and give in from the life. Because I'm going to tell you, the world has a way of making that life seem attractive, making it seem like it's worth living. For one, you have blinds on your eyes and you can't see straight. Because the enemy is blinding you with deception, and he's got you living a lie. So you think that you are living and you are doing, or you are having the best life. Okay? That's something the kids say, that I'm living the best life, or whatever it is. You know, I'm living my best life now, or whatever it is, something like that. But that's what he does. He causes us to believe. It's deception. He is the master of deception. And he causes you to think and to believe that you are living your best life now, when it's all a lie. It's all a lie. I challenge anybody to step out of that best life now, come over here and experience your life with God, and I can guarantee you that this life is better, 100% better, than living over on the other side. This life is filled with peace. It's filled with comfort. I don't have to look over my shoulders. You know, some things happen on the job, man, and people are wondering, man, what, you know, I don't have to panic. He gonna take care of me. He gonna watch over me. He gonna protect me. He gonna make sure that I have exactly what I need in the time that I need it. I don't have any limitations over my life, except for the ones that somebody may cause me to believe that I do. But when you live a life of God and you live as a child of God, you have no limitations on your life. The King of the universe takes care of you, gives you what you need. So don't let nobody ever put a limitation on you. But a life in the house of God is the greatest life that you could ever experience. The intimacy that God wants to encounter with you changes you. When you have an encounter with God, you leave that place a changed person. You cannot encounter the Spirit of God and it not have an effect and change your character. You know, I'm a believer that every time that I pray, that God downloads something to me. And I may not see it in the time, in the moment that I'm praying, but in the moment that I need it, it's there because it's already been downloaded. You don't spend wasteful time in prayer. Every moment, every minute you spend praying to God, there's a download taking place. There's a connection there that when you need it, the strength will be there. When you need it, the direction will be there. There'll be a knowing in your knower on what to do because there was a download placed there. Yet and still, you get all those benefits in churches all over the United States are empty. That blows my mind. Man, what are you running from? What are you running from? When you have all of these benefits in the house of God, someone that loves you when you don't even love yourself, someone that's got your back when everybody else has turned around and went the other way and left you to die. What are you running from? In 2019, I want to see some saints running to him. Running to him with everything that they got so they could be everything that they're called to be. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we love God, but that he first loved us and sent his Son to be the payment for our sins. The love of God for his children was visibly demonstrated through Jesus' work on the cross. It was visibly demonstrated. All of Jerusalem saw Christ hang on that cross that day. He showed them just how much he loved them. As I said before, we need to show the world just how much we love them. Because we are his children. We are called to do the very thing that Christ did, and that is love, that is sacrifice. For you and I to make a sacrifice for someone else will truly change their lives. My mom and dad taught us at an early age, and this is biblical, that you are to always esteem others above yourself. Always put others first before taking care or doing something for Dino. And I live my life according to that. And it truly set a tone for who people thought I was, you know what I mean? My character. It sets a tone. Knowing that you are willing to give up something that was made or something that you had in order so that somebody else would be blessed. That says something about your character. You have a godly character because God is the only one that has ever demonstrated that. You and I need to demonstrate that. People will see that you truly are a child of God. That there is something different about who you are. Something different the way that you live your life. That's an opportunity to share with them the love of Christ. To share with them the gospel. Let them know that what you have, they can obtain as well. You'd be surprised on how many people around you, this simple message that I'm ministering to you today, they don't know this. They don't know this. They need to know this. Love is available. God desires to demonstrate his kindness throughout eternity through Christ Jesus, his Son. This has nothing to do with our own merit. It is only because of his mercy and his kindness that he reaches out to save us. It wasn't that we were so good and that we deserve to be saved. It was because of his love that he allowed Christ, or that he sent Christ here to give his life that you and I could have eternal life with him. This is not something that you and I deserve, because the Word of God says that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Every last one of us are sinners. So neither one of us was actually worthy to be saved. We didn't do many so great of works that we deserve to be saved. But it was the gift of God, because he loves you. Now I'm about to close this up on this right here. But I want you guys to really understand just how much God loves you. Look at all of what he has done for mankind to show his love for you. Take it personally, not as a whole. Break it down. Make it a one-on-one thing. God loves me that much. To where he gave his son, the only one that was worthy to be saved on his own merit. Christ didn't deserve to die. He was holy, sinless, perfect in every way. He didn't deserve to die. But God gave him so that you and I could spend eternity with God. God gave up Christ Jesus so that you and I could be liberated today. God gave Christ Jesus so that you and I could walk and share the benefits of his provision and his protection. That's how much God loves you. So I want to let you know that he's not mad. He's not trying to destroy you, but he loves you. He cares for you. And he wants to experience that great relationship with you. But he's waiting on you. He's waiting on us. He's waiting on us to give him some time. Set aside some time. Spend with him. You are the apple of his eye. Every last one of you. You are the apple of his eye. He desires and longs to spend time with you. Moving into 2019, I want you guys to understand that I don't have to work for God's love. He loves me already. Doesn't matter how much I serve in the church. Doesn't matter about what I do or what my position is. Loves me the same. That's powerful. That's mind-blowing. That he would love me that much in spite of my flaws, in spite of my shortcomings, in spite of my sins, in spite of my promises that I've broken. He still loves me. He still loves you. And he desires to move into 2019 in your life, leading and directing, providing and protecting. Amen.